Now we could move on to the advanced decline oscillator topic, which is probably one of the most primitive useful indicators. I've been keeping it for, for probably about 35 years. And usually when I'm, each Sunday, I do want to comment on the, summarize the short-term picture, which is at the T-Theory Foundation link. And most of the time there, we're using the volume oscillator, which is about it's very fast. It's the second derivative of the trend. When you get to the advanced decline oscillator, it's simply it's only the first derivative of the trend, so it's a little bit easier to tell levels. In any case, the summary for the short-term picture last week is we have an indeterminate situation. This ties into the fact that if you assume you're in a bull market and you're getting these arms, Richard Arms invented the what was known as trend, and I did a lot of studies of that back in the 90s, 80s, 90s. And when it gives you a warning, the warning has always been true, but sometimes it's early. And that sort of warning is what he's faced with. The null echo concept has a different interpretation, which says that you could go a little you can go on a little further. But basically, I would say that the pattern that we got, the discussion here is that you're justified in having the warning, but it's still a bull market, and the problem you have is that if you're trying to follow a sane strategy, you got to have some cash, which means that if you're not using margin, which we're assuming here, it means you have to have some cash, and you have to be less than fully invested. And so when you're watching this thing go up, you say, well, you know, I could make more money if I was fully invested, but then you get this nagging warning problem. So you have to just sort of wrestle that over with and come up with a fraction of how much cash you want to have. In mutual funds, if they get nervous, they hold 5%. That's too low. I mean, that's not even sane in my view. A 1/3 cash position is basically what I think is a saner one, but it could be a half depending on what you think the warning is. In any case, I thought this chart was pretty interesting because I did put some notes on it because I have to solve this problem, and I think it's basically unsolvable right now. But you'll notice that I have these green lows. The oscillator is the blue line that goes around the zero, fluctuates around that solid line, which is the zero line. It's neutral. And one of the rules you have in the oscillator is that if you're looking for an entry point in the market, which would be the case here, is you can generally rely on the fact that that oscillator goes down to the zero line, which is the solid blue line. And you'll see that back in the we have this big low, which is a deep oversold condition, and starting the bull market in the early March time period, and it popped up, then it came down to the blue line, and I have a little okay underneath that. So it's okay to buy that, because that the advanced decline oscillator under the upside conditions of a bull market will generally always give you a drop to the zero line as the minimum condition you need to buy. It's also inversely true in a bear market. In a bear market, when you're going down, if you're deeply oversold and the trend is established down, you think it's going to go down, a place where you can short is always the rally comes up to the zero line, because zero is the sort of the place where you relieve the condition that you were the overbought or the oversold condition. So it turns out that if you look at that okay, that's okay. Now, if you look at the market in May of 09, you see it came down towards the zero line, but it didn't rally. It didn't come down far enough, and then it stabilized and it went up. Then it dropped down to a low where it went below the line. Okay, so you can say in a situation like that that what happened is that the bottom zone not going to the bottom zone holding above the zero line is that's a sucker bet. Okay, and it did go to new highs, but if you're bullish, you always have a chance to sell more if you think it's a sucker bet. See. Then it comes down and you go fully oversold. And now if you assume you're in a bull market, then you've got two places to buy, and you have to figure out whether that's a low. But if you go under the zero line, it's likely to be a double bottom. See? So that's kind of a help. But the point I wanted to make is that when you got to that low that didn't quite get down to the zero line, it turns out the market went higher, but it wasn't a place to pile on because you could have done better. You could have done as well or better by just waiting for the market to come down. Okay. If you look at the next rally that we started as the bull market got underway, you see you have two little pullbacks, but they're okay to buy because the little OKs come in. In fact, there's three OKs in a row. Okay. The third OK is okay, but you'll notice now that the oscillator is starting to go to a lower top. And okay, you could draw a small T in there, and it's okay but not for a very long period of time. And then you go down, and so you sink down into this double bottom low, which we get into the latter part of the October-November low. Then you come up, and it kind of hesitates. You know, this advanced decline line is hesitating, but it does come back to this okay zero line, so you could buy there. Okay, it was okay. The rally wasn't great going into the part of the new year, but it was up. And then it started to roll over and made a double bottom in February. It's gone up to make a good high, and it obviously was overbought. It's come back down again, and then I have the green arrow. Maybe it wants to go up. The red arrow, maybe it wants to go down, and a blue question mark. So the answer is, what do you think about this dilemma of not having what it is? Well, I'll tell you what the dilemma is. Because there's a lot of interesting things going on in the short term, but I already know the answer is it's a dilemma. You can't really put it down. It's worthwhile following that when I do my short-term indicators, because that has to do with the null echo problem versus the arms warning signal and so forth. But just from a strategic standpoint, you have no reason why you want to buy anything here, because this could be very similar to the situation, which would go back into the May of 09 time period, where you're making you're going to end up making some kind of a base, and you're going to get a little bit of a rally, and then when it finally rolls over, you wish you hadn't bought anything. In fact, what you might want to do is just watch this go, and then see if you get an extension of the rally. I mean, we do have a May 20th top date, you know, coming up and so forth, but we're not going to talk about that today. We'll talk about that when I do my daily stuff. Is that if you see the market will not come down to the blue line, and it goes and it starts going, it comes down, but it goes sideways, and then it starts to rally, and then the rally starts to peter out, that's a warning that if you cut back so you only own 2/3 of the positions, maybe you want to cut back to you only own 1/3 of the positions, because you're building too big of a top, and that when that top goes over, you know, which you can use the T data, or you watch the oscillators, it's very likely that you're going to go down and you're going to make a low, and it could be a deep low, and there's no particular reason to be invested in that because it's probably going to be a double bottom. You can wait around for the second bottom. So this puts a saner argument, and it puts it on because it's the first derivative of the trend, and you get a lot more information from the standpoint of a conservative investor than if you use the second derivative, which you go into with the volume oscillator. The second derivative, you're subtracting two oscillators with a 2-to-1 time span in them. It goes very, very fast. In this one, you're only using the first derivative, which is the rate of change, so it's a bit easier. So that's why I've been keeping this oscillator for a long time. So I got to put this in the chart, but then it confuses people on the short term. So I just put it on. I'll make it a special feature in the Sunday chart because it's the easy way to look at it. Now there's a second way to look at the market, and that is that the risk reward ratio can be calculated in the channel, which is the top of the chart. It says S&P 500 channels in red, and what you have there is an observation. Assuming that nothing special is going on here, that every time you made a rally up to the red line, you can push it like we're doing now, okay? But there was never any opportunity to buy unless it pulled away from the upper envelope and dropped down towards the middle of the channel, which is the black line, and you at least got the okay for the advanced decline oscillator going down to the zero line. So that hasn't happened yet. So the assumption that you have to conclude here is that it can ride the uptrend, but there's nothing wrong with that because you're in a bull market. However, the risk-reward ratio is very poor because when you get up to the red line, which we're kind of at that. If you read that table, you can get the specific numbers. But 1199 is the high level, and we didn't get to 1199. We didn't get to 1199, but we're not far from it. So maybe you want to go up. And so this is the question you comes up with is do you want to push this thing up into the Dow 1100 level? Maybe it's a resistance level or something like that, and take a shot. What's the risk reward ratio? Well, it's terrible. Okay, so if you're sitting there with some cash, that's the right place to be. With some cash, that's the right way to do it. If the thing gets lagged out and you're two-thirds invested, or you're half invested, or 80% invested, or whatever it is, if you see that this thing wants to struggle up, it's probably trying to tell you that you want to get to a more cash position at some other time, which we have to figure out, which could be May 20th. Okay, and that's the way you treat it. And sometimes there just isn't a simple answer, but you just keep rationalizing this way. And I just wanted to point out that the blue advanced decline oscillator is a big help, and the channels too. But the blue volume oscillator is the one that's probably a little more informative as to the because it gives that okay versus the lows and the double bottoms down low. So you have two kinds of buy points. You have the little dippy thing, which is good for a bounce, and then you have the important lows, which are down at the bottom. Actually, the people that were doing the shorting probably could have figured out they were going to get caught when they made the double bottom. But they don't watch these things. They're usually watching the tape. It's better to watch the oscillators than it is to watch what people are saying and so forth. Okay, so that's anyway, that I thought that was a good way to put the matter into perspective. And of course, each Sunday I'll have to plot this chart, since it seems to be a good way to get a perspective. And we'll carry this through bull markets, bear markets, and it gives me something to talk about in case I don't get any interesting questions in. Okay, that winds up this topic, and then I'll be back. We'll move on to the gold picture. Thank you.